Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I know we stopped somewhere, that's Psalm 45, but from verse 8, it talked about the garment of the Lord. It said, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Amen. All the garments. So you can see that the Lord has garments. Amen. Yes. That he has garments. He has many garments. Not just one garment. All his garments. Now I began to talk about the smell of the garments. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Now it is very, very important that we understand the issue of the garment. If we are trying to know the Lord and know his, because in Psalm 132, he talked about, you know, the garment of righteousness and the garment of salvation. He said, it shall clothe thy praise. Can you give me that Psalm 132? Amen. Verse 16, now thou clothe her priests. The first is garment of righteousness. And then the next one, that's in 15:9, is let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let the saints do what? Let thy priests, the priests, will be clothed with righteousness. Now I checked Revelation verse 19. It talked about the people that follow the Lord. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 19. It talked about the bride. There, I was just seeing in Revelation 19 that there were different garments worn by different sets of people. First of all, we see the garment which the Lord himself wore. Let's look at the garment he wore, the garment linen, but it called it dipped in blood. Amen. Quickly. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. Please, you have to take it easy with me, because when you keep changing it. And he was clothed, that's verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. So he had a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed. So the army also was clothed. He was clothed, and the army also was clothed. I believe this army that you're talking about here is actually the rod of his strength, sir. These are the rod of his strength. These are the rod of his strength that followed him. And I love that. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So when I was looking at this Revelation 19, I saw that they were, why were they concentrating on their clothing? Why were they concentrating on their clothing? The clothing of our Lord, a vesture deep in blood. That's a vesture that is red. Amen. Yeah. Vesture that is red. Now, you must understand also that when you talk about red, now, when you say dipped in blood, I don't, one would say, okay, maybe he has just, because there's a prophecy about him coming from the winepress of the wrath of God. All right, praise God. But he has a garment that is actually red. Now, that red is talking about the nature. Please understand me. Whenever you hear garment, that's what I'm saying. Why they are talking about garment. Whenever you hear garment, what is being referred to is an inward clothing. Amen. an inward clothing. So it is not just something physical. He was describing their inward configuration, the inward clothing, how they were arrayed on the inside. Praise God. Just follow me gradually. We'll get somewhere. And then they also mentioned the bride, which also we now saw again in Psalm 45, where they also talked about the bride, you know, the garment or what the bride was wearing. Let's look at that Psalm 45. We'll just take it from there. And the issue of garment and how to acquire garments. Because there is something we do to acquire garments. Are you following me? There is something we do to acquire garments, so that we'll not be naked. He told that church in the book of Revelation, he said, buy from me. What? That's the Laodicean church. Laodicean church. He said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. That thou mayest be clothed. When I saw that, I now saw that actually it's possible for one not to be clothed. It's possible for one not to be naked. I mean, for one to be naked, not physically naked, but in the spirit be naked. It's possible for one. It's possible for a saint to go home naked. I think that was last two Sundays I was teaching along this line, and I was talking about the soul. Amen. He said if the house of this our earthly tabernacle be dissolved. Amen. A whole lot of scriptures I have to bring together to be able to show us this. Sometimes I don't, you know, it will just be passing you like this and you don't know which one to now grab. But let's like I said, let me take you cool. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I hope you will not just follow me gradually. Amen. Amen. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle we are dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be what? I'm not hearing you. Desiring to be what? With our house which is from heaven. So when they mention house, amen. When they mention house here, yeah, is not talking about the house you live in. Really, the house is your clothing, is your wearing. Of course, not this wearing, not this physical wearing, but there is a wearing that the soul can be naked. The soul can be naked. The soul can be, the spirit can be saved, but the soul can be naked. Please understand me. The spirit can be saved, but the soul that is with the spirit, that I mean, when the spirit is saved, I'm talking about being born again, but the soul can be naked. As a matter of fact, many of us, that's the first thing. That's the first thing they do. First of all, they will have to take away, you know, it has to be dissolved. That's the word is talking about here. It has to be dissolved. And what will make for the dissolving, he said, I love that. He said, for we know that if our earthly, the earthly house of this tabernacle, we are dissolved. Now, this is what I'm saying here. Now, when he said the word if, meaning it's actually not everybody that will allow their earthly house to be dissolved while they are here.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you get me? And that earthly house, you can't go with it. Because what you will have to go with has to be... Do you remember that parable where Jesus was talking about the parable of the marriage feast? And then everybody was supposed to wear a garment. And there was a guy who came in I don't know how he entered there without garment. What did they do? They sent him out. I said, oh, the master of the feast said, friend, how did you get here? How did you come here without garment? There is something everybody that is here is supposed to wear. And the Bible says he was speechless. Meaning there's a garment you're supposed to wear. Are you following what I'm saying? What did I say? Now, I used to, you know, sometimes I like taking it also from the natural. Now, why is it that sisters are particular about wedding garment? Why? I'm asking you. You know, we guys, we can wear anything, actually. Yes, but you see, and that wedding gown is only one day. And you don't wear it again. The best is you pass it to another sister. But they want to wear that wedding gown. What is it all about? Amen. Now, it's telling a story of something great. Something. So, you know, the soul, every soul is a sister. Whether you're a man, you're a female, or you're a brother, or you're a sister, you're a male, you're a female. Every one of us, we are sister. Amen. 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 I know some guys don't like to hear that kind of that we are all sisters. I'm describing the soul. It's only the Lord Jesus that actually has a... Now, when you hear the word head, is male. Amen. Amen. He's the only one that has head spirit and head soul. All of us have body spirit and body soul. That's how God made it. Are you following what I'm saying? We have body spirit. That is why your spirit that is regenerated, is called the body of Christ. It's not head, it's body. Meaning it's where the head will find expression. Are you following what I'm saying? So every one of us, whether you're a brother, you're a sister, you are a sister in your soul. That's the designation of our souls. No, so I'm saying if that wedding gown means so much to sisters, is telling us something, a reality in the realm of the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Something in the realm of the spirit that every one of us... Now, I know there is no sister here who wants to do wedding. If pastor brings a law right now that there's no wedding gown, if you want to wear... I'm sure some of you will leave church. Or you go back to your parents' church to go and wed. And come back because you love truth. Hey, am I lying? I'm touching something now. You see, thank you, my dear. Amen. Because there's something about that garment. What is it? And then it's always white. Yes, sir. Amen. White. And then they will lace it, make it look nice. And that day is like you are just the center of even the young man, the groom is our suit. No, they pass black, blue. You know, sometimes they wear. But you know, when you see that white suit, the thing no day. There's a way the thing looks like. But what that there are colors that when you wear, they say that's the man. So because the center of attraction that season is the bride. So you can see that all of heaven is waiting for the bride. All of heaven, they are all going to be celebrating the bride. And who are these brides? Now, I also want to say this, because you must understand it, that it is not every believer that will make it for the bridal company.
Yes, sir.
Please don't be angry. These are realities that are set in the spirit. It's not all the saints. Now, because right now you hear that, oh, the church is the bride of the Lord. No. and all. There is a church that will qualify for that.
Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There's a church that will qualify to marry the Lamb. It's not all church. There are also some designations. When you read that place in the book of Psalm 45, you hear about the daughters. Can we read it so that I will not... Amen. Praise God. Now, what I'm just describing today is garments and what you can do to acquire your garment. And your garment will designate the position you would take in the whole thing. All right, let's read it. First of all, he talked about the Lord's garment. Then he began to talk about verse 9. He said, the king's daughters, so there are king's daughters, we are among thy honorable women, upon thy right hand did sit the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house. So shall the king desire thee, desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship him. And the daughter, so you see, we also have the daughter of Tyre shall be there with gifts. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is also glorious. Amen. Within her clothing is of wrought gold. Are you seeing it? Is of wrought gold. So it's something that was worked. She shall be brought unto the king in the raiment, in the raiment of needleworks. The virgins, her companion that follow her, shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing. Shall they be brought? They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of the father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generation. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Amen. Now when you check this, you see that there are many companies.
Yes,
let me even start with that. There are many companies. They are the, what do you call, thy fathers. There are those who will constitute the fathers. Amen.
Amen.
And there are those who will constitute what is called the king's daughter. They're actually a company. And there is also the daughter of Tyre. They're also a company. Amen. And then there is also the queen. Are you following me? So from here, you can know that there are different designations. And you will know them by their wearing. Their garments. Now, for instance, you need to... When you see a high priest, you know a high priest. How do you know him? His garment. When you see a priest that is not a priest, that is not a high priest, you know him by what? His garment. When you see a Levite, you know him by his garment. Is it not what in the scripture? Is in the scripture. I might not be able to go to all of that. But you see them, it is their garments that actually designate them to a particular group where they will be. Now I want to tell you that also in, now that, let me not say in the world to come, even right now, garments are being made. Did you understand me? What did I say?
Garments
are being made. Garments are being, if I would say sewn, garments are being made. And how are these garments being made? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Are you following me? Your garment is being made. Now, one of the things the Lord also showed me is that you can change garments. You can change garment. Now, the changing of your garment is actually as a result of what your soul is able to come into. Praise God. What did I say? It's the changing of your soul. Amen.
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 how your soul is changing, what your soul is doing right now will determine how your change, and that your change will qualify you for a garment. So you can actually change garments. Yes, sir. Amen. There are changing of garments in the spirit. There are raiments in the spirit. There are raiments, many raiments in the spirit that you can wear. Now the one we know most of all, what we know majorly in the church is mantle. And it's because of anointing. We love mountains, sir, because that thing they perform. Amen. But this one, amen, praise God, it is not like mantle. You know, you like prophetic mantle. Amen. But this one is prophetic mantle. Sorry, sir. There are wearings in the spirit. Oh.
Yes,
there are wearings in the spirit. But this wearing we are talking about here is not just a grace upon. Is an arrangement within. That's where the difference is. You must understand it. It's not just a wearing upon. It's an... I love that. Rocks. Something that is worked on the inside. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Something that is a work on the inside. Because the one that is a wearing of grace... Amen. You can remove it. What do I mean by remove it? Elijah had to, you know, portion of it had to fall upon Elisha. Did you understand me? His anointing now is very good. It's wonderful. We need it. We need a lot of it. But it is different from the one of nature. Did you understand me? It is different from the one that the one I'm describing here as a raiment, amen, are the ones that are as a result of nature formation. Please understand me.
Yes, sir.
It's as a result of nature formation. It's as a result of change. Amen.
Yeah.
It's as a result of work that is going on your inside. That is what is going to bring about that garment. Is weaved within your soul. Or let me put it this way. Upon your soul. So your soul is supposed to wear it. What you wear should be commensurate with who you are.
Yeah.
They won't give you something. You can't wear something. That would be oversized. They won't give you something that is not according to your nature. So it's actually nature formation that I'm discussing here. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in Psalm 132, let's touch that a little bit. It talked about the priest. It said, let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Are you following me? Now, when you hear this, let thy priests, I love that. Every one of us is supposed to journey to the point. Because if you're going to journey to salvation, then you're going to have to journey to priesthood. That's what you talk about, priesthood of believers.
It's not prayer. It's not intercession. It's a nature. Amen. It's a nature. It's a nature that a soul comes into. That soul becomes righteous. Again, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth had not seen him, neither know him. Then I love this. He said, little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. He that does what? I'm not hearing you. He that what? Yeah, I'm not receiving your response. Amen. He that does what? Thank you. He that doeth righteousness. I love that. Is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So you have to do righteousness. Amen. You have to do righteousness. You have to do what is right in the sight of God. For our Lord Jesus, I quoted it yesterday, said, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity." Maybe I should stand up so that the thing, but if I stand up, I won't be able to teach. I will exalt, but you're making me exalt. Amen. Praise God. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Don't be deceived about concerning righteousness. Now, I want to say, sir, that part of the deception we find in this generation is that, I'll call it half-truth, of righteousness, where one can claim righteousness, which we call imputed righteousness. But there's imparted righteousness. Imputed righteousness is the righteousness as a result of what the Lord did. Are we following? What the Lord Jesus did, what he did, we became the righteousness of God by reason of what he did. Amen. But that is not all about righteousness. So if we stay on that ground, we'll be deceived. If we stay on that ground alone, we'll be deceived, because a lot of people have stayed there and refused to do righteousness. There's a need for you to do righteousness. If you don't do righteousness, it's the soul doing righteousness. It's also a training. Then it is a way of the soul undoing, because you came in by doing. You obeyed something. You have to disobey it. What you obeyed was a law. You obeyed the law. Every soul obeyed law of sin and death. And you obeyed it by doing. That's why it's called wrought. Something that was wrought is a work. It was worked in you because you did something. Are you following what I'm saying? So now you're supposed to do something contrary, and that which you're going to do contrary has to be revealed to you. Because truly, we don't even know what is righteousness. It's not legalistic. You have to be led. There are some things that the Spirit of God will show you. You know, you're hearing message right now, right? You're hearing message. You hear precept. You hear precept. You hear precept. You hear line. Now, what the Spirit of God will do eventually is that as you're living here, they will follow you and arrange situations for you to obey what you heard. Did you hear what I just said now? They will arrange situation for you to obey what you heard. It happens. It's the operation that is upon us in the community of Word of Righteousness. You just discover that a scenario is arranged. And in that day, or in that very hour, you have choice to obey or disobey. You disobey, the darkness stays. You obey, you delete. You obey again, you delete. So you are, darkness is being, another word, remitted. So they will keep on giving you righteousness. Because I love that. He said, "Therein is the righteousness of God." I love that. So that righteousness of God is revealed righteousness. Revealed righteousness is for you to do righteousness. They don't reveal righteousness so that you can claim righteousness. It's not claiming. They reveal righteousness so that you can do righteousness. So from one level of righteousness to another level of righteousness. Amen. That's why I say it here. It has to, don't be deceived. You have to do righteousness. He that doeth, can you say doeth? So that doeth is not just once. Is you continue to do righteousness until you become righteous. So you don't become it one day. Amen. Did you get what I just said now? You don't become it one day. You have to do. So they'll reveal to you, you do. They'll reveal again, you obey. You keep on doing righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me that. That's Romans chapter 6. It's a popular scripture, we know. Romans chapter 6. Amen. Knowing not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey. So are you seeing it? You yield yourselves at what? Servants to obey. And what happens? His servant ye are to whom you obey. Whether of sin. I know if you tell somebody you are serving sin, the person will nearly stone you. But you don't know when you're, you don't, we don't count it as serving sin. We just feel we are doing our own thing. But you're actually obeying laws of sin, and by so doing, you are a servant of sin. And a servant will definitely receive reward. Amen. So if I do righteousness to become righteous, if I do this other one, I will become not just an evil doer. I can see that that Antichrist, that guy, when it's called man of sin, he had journeyed. Constantly doing. That wound they wounded himself was to restrain him. But the guy recovered and continued. What a soul. Let's go further. I'm talking about righteousness. Amen. Romans. Whether of sin unto death, because that's the reward. So you do righteousness to become righteous. You obey sin to come into the reign of sin, which is death. This is you need to just be able to say them in a way. Most of the time when I'm teaching, I'm coming to this point, I always ask the Lord to give me examples that I can, you know, give so that you can understand. And some examples that will flow into my mind sometimes, I will feel, this one will be, I hope we are not giving ourselves away. Amen. I pray that the Lord just give me some other example. There's an example that is coming into my heart. Our leaders in this nation. I sometimes I wonder, because I somehow I listen and I also watch. You wonder how a soul, what has happened to a soul? What has happened to a soul? It's like a soul has given up conscience. Conscience is supposed to be a deterrent. Yeah. From continuing in that path. Sin. And the end of it is death. Because what he's going to give to you is death. And when he says he'll give you death, it's not you'll die physically. No, sir. Let me tell you something. Do you know why the Lord has to allow some people to die physically? Do you know his mercy? Yeah. You won't see it as mercy. Yeah. It's mercy because if he does not stop them, they have propensity to die second death. And not only to die second death, they will die second death. And there's something about second death. It's infectious. Wow. That is it. It's a plague. Ew. It's pestilent. So, it's pestilent in nature. So, what God does is that God will see, you know, when the Lord will tell Israel, when you get to the promised land, nation like the Amalekites, nation like the Canaanites, kill them, wipe them off. You say, is that not genocide? Somebody said, it's genocide. That's not genocide. You don't understand. You see, if you leave that nation, yeah, that nation, Israel, righteousness, because God wants righteousness to reign, righteousness will never spring up. You will discover that after a while, Israel, after a while, they follow those nations. Those nations. So say, wipe out everything, because those nations, like you said, we are advanced. They were so advanced in evil, they were advanced towards second death. And because of that, they are very infectious. You won't know when you will start doing what they are doing. Wow. So God sometimes will cut their life short. And for a believer also, sometimes he will cut their life short, so that their spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. Amen. Did you understand me? These are hard sayings. There are some believers that just have to go home. Even some ministers will have to go home. Mercy. Because the Lord knows if they continue like that, this is where they are going to end. Are you understanding me? All right, let's go back to that Romans chapter 6. All of obedience unto what? Amen. Can you say righteousness?
Righteousness.
I'm not feeling you. Say righteousness.
Righteousness.
Obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye, we are servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. Go further. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin. Are you seeing it? Being then, what I'm showing you is that you have to continue in doing righteousness to unwind unrighteousness. Now, if I put it in the way of the garment that I was talking about, you see, everyone has a garment. Really. Everyone has a garment. There's something every soul is wearing. There's something every soul is wearing. What the soul is wearing, and that's how they perceive you in the spirit. What your soul is wearing is how they perceive you in the spirit. Human being might not see it, but in the spirit, it gives you away. What you, and then you don't know how you want, you wore it as a result of doing over a period of time. What you have done eventually becomes a wearing. Amen. If I use this word habit, habits, because something is a habit, meaning it's not just something that you did once, it's something you kept doing until it became a formation in you. Then it becomes a habitation. It becomes a wearing. Are you following what I'm saying? It becomes where your soul is identified with. That is, if they look at your soul in the realm of the spirit, they are seeing you wearing that kind of garment. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, it's not easy to remove it. Garment in the spirit is not like physical garment that you can get home now and you remove it. No, you it's not easy to remove it, because it has become part of your nature by is interwoven with your soul. And there are different garments. There are garments that has needle works. So it's not just what you're wearing it, they now have needle works. The way they have it in that Psalm 45 for the daughter, amen, the king's daughter or the virgins, they wear the same way also in the one that sin gives to men. There are some that have curious work. It's like tattooed. You can't remove it. Look at Joshua, the son of Jesse. She didn't even know, he didn't even know he was wearing something. And he was standing to minister. And because of that, Satan was resisting him. Because he was wearing something which he didn't know. He had to take Zechariah the prophet to speak concerning it. That this is actually what I saw in the spirit. This is how you're perceived in the spirit. This is how you're looked upon in the spirit. You're looked upon as one wearing a filthy garment. And he didn't know, sir, where he got that garment was in Babylon. What is that thing about Babylon and clothing, sir? You remember Achan? The thing pulls the soul. You remember Ahola and Aholibah? When they saw the kings of Syria and Assyria, how they gave themselves to those kings because of the things that those kings have, glories. So Achan also saw, he called it Babylonish garments. Kai. Babylonish garments. So when I say wearing of sin, God will help us. Achan said he saw it, and the thing was looking. Look at it. Let's read it. He said, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly." So Babylonish garments, they are always goodly. They look good in the sight of people. Goodly garment. And then attached with it is 200 shekels of silver and a weight of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I... What did I do? Are you seeing it? I converted them. I took them, and behold, they are hid in where?
In the
soul. Hey! See where he hid it? In his midst. So when you are coveting, be careful what you're coveting. Be careful what you're coveting, because that thing you're coveting will end up being in your midst. And that's what brings defilement. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying here. So, talking about Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, it had to take mercy for that garment. First of all, it is always Babylon. It's always Babylon. Achan was Babylonish garment. Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, it was a garment he got from Babylon. Now, are we talking about physical garment? No, not at all. It was something that he learned. Now, part of what will constitute garment is a wisdom. What did I say? It's a kind of wisdom. A kind of wisdom. Because one of the things that wisdom does is that wisdom is profitable to direct. How does it direct? It gives... Wisdom gives direction to life. So that wisdom, God talk about the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the princes of this world, those are the things that are used to weave garments for souls. Souls are wearing garments, they don't know where it came from. And those garments are for glory. So garment, can you say garment? Let me hear you say garment.
Garment.
What is garment for? Garment is for glory. Because if garment is not for glory, then there will be no way that a soul will be coveting for it. But the soul coveting for it means that the garment is for glory. Are you following me?
Yes,
the garment is for glory. And Babylonish garments are always a product of glories of Babylon. Amen.
Amen.
But Jesus, they talked about him. Thou lovest, in that psalm, he said, thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. So, Babylonish garments are the wisdom of iniquity. What did I say? I mean, they are a function of the wisdom of iniquity, Babylonish garment. But concerning Jesus, he said, "Thou lovest righteousness." Can we love what he loves? Amen. Can we love what he loves? It's possible to love what Jesus loves. I can't boast that I love everything that Jesus loves right now, but I want to love everything he loves. Amen. I want to love everything that he loves. What he loves are the right standards of God. God will show you his standard and you will like it. And can I tell you something? His standards are always contrary to your standard. Always. His standards are always against what you stand for. Hi, Jesus. Help me that is even talking. His standards are always contrary. Amen. But you know, it's those standards. Amen. It's those standards that I need to take. David said, "Search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way, if there be anything contrary," look at it, "if there be any wicked way in me, so there can be ways." You know, I told you, I said wisdom is profitable to direct. So what it gives is ways. It's a kind of life. It's a kind of life. That's actually what gives rise to what they. You can't see anybody in the realm of the spirit wearing a garment that he has not walked. He must have walked. Are you following what I'm saying? He must have walked. You must have walked the walk of that garment for you to receive the garment. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Search me. Please, give me back that psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any. So it's the Lord that will search us. And when he sees that there's still some, he always has, that's one of the things I love about the Lord. He has standard that will tackle any way. Can you say way? There's nothing hidden before him. And there is nothing difficult for him to resolve. Where it looks difficult is in us obeying it. But he knows what he will give to you, whatever it is that is called way, or whatever it is that is a constitution, can be dissolved. Yes, he knows how to give it. Praise God. Am I okay here? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. He knows what to give to you. So David was crying, "Search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me." Can you say lead me? Say with me, lead me. May that be our prayer in Jesus' name. Yes. Lead me where? Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Because it's in the leading, in the way everlasting, that will earn me the clothing of salvation. Amen. Amen. So that you don't just wear salvation as a cloak without having walked. I told you, I said, for you to wear, you must have walked. You must have walked for you to wear. Amen. Amen. And I will clothe our priests with salvation. Priests. Plural. So it's a company. It's not just one. It's a company. Meaning it's going to comprise a lot of people. But it will be people who have succeeded in walking to the point where they can be clothed. May we walk.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me take it further a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's go back to that Revelation verse. I'll just
dwell there a little bit. Revelation 19. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, like I said earlier, they mention the Lord's own garment. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
And they also mention the garments of the people that followed him. What I'm so much interested in is the garment of the people that followed him. Amen. Let's read it. And he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Then followed him an army. Can you say an army? Now, this army is what I'm talking about when I say that I perceive this is the rod of his strength. Somebody might think, okay, are you sure these are not angels? I don't know. But I don't think what will constitute the armies of heaven will be... There's a way they are. I'm not doubting that angels are armies of heaven. They are. They do a lot of work. But I'm talking about the Lord being in their midst. In this contest. The Lord being in their midst. Remember, in the midst of the church. In the midst of my brethren. So the Lord being in their midst is what makes... You can find the definition of this army. Amen.
Amen.
You can find the kind of people this army is by checking who is in their midst. Is the Lord. Now, I want to believe that this army are also people who the Lord has conquered.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
What did I say? No, I'm not talking about the way he will conquer the nations of the earth. I'm talking about believers that he has conquered.
Hallelujah.
Meaning, this is what I'm saying here. It's not everybody that will actually allow the Lord to conquer him. That's serious. It's not every believer that will allow, because we war with him. What did I say? One day he told me, he said, I'm called the man of war.
Yes, sir.
Not because of Satan. It's not because of Satan. He doesn't need to fight with Satan. He destroyed him. He said he's called man of war because of us.
Yes, sir.
It's for many of us, he has to wrestle with us. War with us skillfully. And the war is to help us. The war is to save us. The message you receive is that you don't win that war. You know, a soul can be here on earth and finish his sojourning on here victorious. Meaning he had his way. He was never interjected. He was never interrupted. They fought to stop him. He would jump. He would find a way. Do you understand what I mean? So you should not win that war. Let the Lord win. Now, they say victorious Christian living. Victorious Christian living. Victorious Christian living is... Victorious Christian living is if the Lord can finish you. You're victorious. Are you following what I'm saying? The Lord, if the Lord can finish you. But you know one of the things about it is that the Lord, in doing that, he teaches us how to. Do you know that the Father conquered him? It might sound somehow. The Father conquered the Son. Kai. These are heavy things, though. I don't, as I'm saying it, there's a way the thing is coming. The Father actually conquered the Son. Sir, you know, He can start with you. You can be willing and yielding. But at some point, you will see something rise. At some point, you see something rise within the soul. Let me give you an example. At Gethsemane, what do you think was happening there? Something. Now, it is not, what I'm saying is not, is not, is not wickedness of Satan. No, is even as a result of righteousness that he has come into. But the Father wants total taking. He wants to be the one in charge totally. Amen. He had to be resolved there at Gethsemane. Now that's what I'm saying. Now, at some point you just see something rising up. They want to take everything. Now this army is not easy to be. You know, he shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of the enemy." You quote it like that, you don't know who these guys are. Let me paint it another way. What do you think was the disparity between the remnant of her seed and the man child? What was the disparity? How can you tell a man child? How can you tell a company that have worked with God, done everything, and then you're giving them another commandment to go back to the womb? I wish I can explain it better. Go back to the womb. Now, they've had testimony. They have the word of God and they have testimony. But there was something else that was needed. And that thing that was needed is something that is in the book. Did you understand what I'm saying? Now, the remnant of our seed has word and testimony. The word of God and testimony. They were still keeping the word and the testimony. Because you can't, it's not, it takes a while to finish. The word and the testimony. Amen. Can you say word and testimony? You have to keep it until you keep it fully. Now what it does is that it will aspire you to the point where you can now agree. So those ones that agreed to go back to the womb. Can you say go back to the womb? You are supposed to come out, but you go back to the womb. From the womb, you're going up. The womb is the way up. I perceive, sir, what is in the book, the prophecy that is in the book, is the secret of going back to the womb. To go back to the womb, you have to become the littlest. You have to be the meekest. You have to be the most vulnerable. You have to be the weakest. That's a little child. Very little child. Now, the remnant, they were also children. But they are not as little as this man-child company. What was it that about this man-child company I'm talking about? They are the ones, they've been completely conquered. I believe they are the ones that is called the army of heaven that will ride with the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Are we together? Remember in verse 12, they sat. But right now they are riding with the Lord. And who are they riding with? The one called the Word of God. Amen. They are riding with the eternal Word. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. Now these armies that we are in heaven, can you say armies that we are in heaven? Somebody will think, okay, there are armies that, no, it's men. Men will be here and they will be in heaven. Remember, the Son of God who is in heaven, or who is in his bosom, he has declared him. So some will become so heavenly. You become so heavenly while you're on earth that it will be said concerning you, you are from heaven. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
They are heavenly men. Kai. Armies of heaven. They followed him. And the armies of heaven, the armies which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses. Amen. You know what horse is? Horse is governmental. Horse is also now when I say governmental is horses are meant for war.
Yes.
But white horses, you really don't see white horses for war. White horses are majorly for ceremony. Did you get that?
Yes,
it's majorly for what? For ceremony. And they are meant for princes.
Yeah.
Or for kings.
Yeah.
That's why I say these horses are governmental. Amen.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
Now, horses are also forces.
Wow.
Horses are forces. Forces of heaven. So it means that it is this armies of heaven that will be able to wield forces of heaven. So when you say a rod of iron, those are forces. Those are governmental powers. Rod of iron. Rod of iron. Now, why do they need to? You can't wield heavenly powers if you're, or heavenly forces, if you're not heavenly in your soul. You can't. You won't know how to use it. Do you notice something there in the book of Revelation? All the promises that we are made to the churches, we are all, amen. We call them reward. They are all reward, but they are all for, amen. They are all for governance. They are all for to show forth the kingdom and the power and the glory of our Lord Jesus. They are all for reign. As they made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign with him. All those things. Now you can't, a soul that is heavenly. When you say heavenly man, can you say heavenly man? Is a man clothed with salvation. Heavenly man is a man clothed with salvation. Now it will take a man clothed with salvation to be able to wield those forces. The forces of heaven. You can't. How will you know how to handle the rod of iron? Amen. If they give a carnal soul a rod of iron right now, of course it's not even a physical rod, so a carnal soul will not know what it is. Amen. But peradventure they give it to you, maybe radical power, and the guy is carnal. I know where he's going to head to. All the people that has offended him. Amen. First of all, he's going to prove to them that he has power. Amen. A preacher, that's a young preacher. You give him such power. He's going to reign. He's going to reign. He's going to have fame. He's going to use it to fetch fame.
Yes, sir.
He's going to use it to correct his fathers. Amen. What am I saying? They don't give such powers. You don't even understand it because they are all functions of wisdom.
Amen.
That is excellent.
Amen.
All of those materials you're seeing there. Amen. So let's move further with this book, Revelation chapter 19. So it said, the armies of heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. Can you say fine linen?
Fine.
Now, linen is the clothing of the priests. Fine linen. Now, the word fine, then white, and then clean. So, I was wondering, why didn't they just say clean linen or white linen? Why did they have to emphasize fine and then white and clean? Meaning it has to pass all these tests. Amen. Can I tell you something? All of these tests are levels of righteousness. Levels of righteousness. So there's a level of righteousness that is fine, but it might not yet be white. Are you following me? Do you agree with what I'm just saying? Fine. It can be fine linen, but it may not yet be white. Somebody say, okay, but I thought it's supposed to be white. Yeah, they are when they say white, white is not, I believe this white is describing, because I know linen has many colors, but the one that the priest wears majorly is white linen. Amen?
Amen.
But there are some white that is whiter. Amen. What did I say? There's some white that is whiter. So if it is fine linen, meaning it's not linen that is mixed. You know, making of clothes, those of you who know a little bit about making of clothes, there's a way you can weave other materials together with linen, and it might not be 100% linen. Clothings. Some clothings, they'll tell you, is 100% polyester. Or 100% wool. So they can mix some things in it. But this one is fine. I mean, there's no mixture. There is no mixture. Amen.
Amen.
That is clothing. There is no mixture. It's pure. It's pure linen. And then it is also white. So it has also gone through a process of purging, cleaning, even though it is linen, but it has to go through a process of purging. Now they are showing you the, I call it, these are things they do to the soul in the course of learning of righteousness. These are the things they do to the soul.
Amen.
To make you white.
Amen.
To make you white. I believe whiteness is also something that the soul is meant to inherit.
Yes, sir. White soul.
Amen.
Amen.
That's not an ordinary soul. White. The soul becomes white. You can look at it, you know it's white. But why will he now say clean? So the white is already clean now. That means they are not leaving any stone on.
Yes, sir.
They want to make sure that everything is thorough, fine, no mixture, white, thoroughly purged, then clean. Now, I said these are all stages of revelation of righteousness. Amen. Now, let me put it another way. There are also stages of revealed righteousness which you and I should do. Amen. Remember we said that with he that doeth righteousness is righteous. So these are stages of righteousness which will do. So there's a righteousness you will do. Amen. There's a revealed righteousness that you will do and it will be fine. But they will still show you more to do for you to get to the point where it will be what? White. For it to be white. And then when it's white, they will show you another one to do for it to be clean. 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 Now, that clean, sir, I checked it. Is when they say something is clean, means it's transparent.
Wow.
How can white be transparent, sir? There must be something about that white. Just like gold, transparent gold. Have you ever seen transparent gold before? I've never seen gold. I know gold. When you see gold, and it's shining. But when you now see transparent gold, means that that gold is clean. No impurity. The gold is clean. So how will it look like, sir? When gold is transparent. So what will it look like when the garment is clean? It's white, oh, but now it's clean. Amen.
Amen.
I've had some encounters where I saw that's what I can use to relate with it. I've had some encounters where I saw an angel. Just see it. And one of the things I noticed about their body is not like our body. Their body is like, I don't know. It's the one I saw was white. Everything was white. The clothing was white. But the body was white that is like not just glowing, sir. It was like, I can't describe it. It's like a white stone, but you can see through it. A white you can see through. Looking like silver, but white silver, but you can see through it. Now, you shouldn't see, and I perceive one of the reasons why God doesn't make us, every one of us, see them. Some of us will run mad. You will not be okay. That one I saw, I know what it did to me. Just the sight of it in a vision. I know what it did to me. I literally jumped out of that vision. It was scary. What they carry, then the sight of it, I jumped out of that vision. I sat up and I was like, what is it, what this being look like? And I know there are more terrible beings than that. Amen. So I'm now wondering, sir, when they say that our Lord Jesus was made so much better than them. He was made so much better than them. That so much better than them also involved their materials. Let me put it this way. The material of their righteousness. Because righteousness is a substance. Are you following what I'm saying? Righteousness is what? A substance. Righteousness is a substance. Righteousness is not abstract. Righteousness is a substance. It can be substantiated. It's just that we don't have lab where it can be tested. to know the karat of righteousness. But righteousness is a substance. And if righteousness is a substance, then righteousness is in grades. No, because you have everlasting righteousness. You have the righteousness which is Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, I say, put on Christ. What are they telling you? It's righteousness. Put on Christ. So a soul can put on Christ. Amen.
Amen.
A soul, that's where the status. You put on Christ. You wear Christ. You put off the old man. And then you put on the new man, which is created in knowledge, in righteousness. After, look at it. He said, I'm put on the new man, which is after God. Which is after God. Is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's a new man. Amen.
Amen.
Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. After, can you say after God?
After
God. So is after God. Is after God. So that man, that righteousness is the righteousness that will make you go after God. That's the righteousness that will qualify you to go after God. If you don't have that righteousness, you can't go after God. You can't go after righteousness and true holiness. Now when it says righteousness and true holiness, it means that that righteousness is also true righteousness and true holiness. Are we together here? But you have to first of all put on. Can you say put on?
Put
on. So, brethren, how do you put on? You put on by doing.
Yeah.
When you do, you're putting on. When you're not doing, you're not putting on.
Yeah.
When you obey righteousness, you're putting on righteousness. When you are obeying sin, you're also putting on a garment.
Amen.
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 The next verse. And that he... Okay, thank you. Verse 2, thank you. And that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Are you seeing it? So you acquire this putting, this wearing, by conversation. Are you together? You acquire it by what? What is conversation? What is conversation? Not talking. It's lifestyle. Another word for lifestyle is obedience.
Amen.
You acquire it by obedience. You are obeying, and when you're obeying, you are acquiring something. Are you following me? Then he talked about the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Serious. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which is after God. So you have to have put off the old man. And the old man has his ways. His ways are his conversation. His ways are his lifestyle. Then put on the new man. Amen. Hallelujah. Which is created after God. Which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore putting away... Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are what? Now, this is just a discussion of Christ.
Yes,
how you put on Christ.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
But there's also how you put on this, the righteousness which is Christ. Then there's righteousness which is of the Son of God. Are you following me? You know, remember I told you, I said you can change garments.
Yes, sir.
There's righteousness which is the righteousness of the Son of God. That's why he's called the King of Righteousness. So listen to me, our putting it on, can you say putting it on? I think I'll just land it here, is in our conversation with one another. Our righteousness I'm talking about, the wearing, the clothing, is in how we put it on, is in our conversation with one another. the life we live with one another. Amen. When I say we live with one another, commandments they will give to you. Because you know it's revealed. Am I saying something? It's revealed righteousness. It will be shown to you. It will be shown to you how to relate with your brother. It will be shown to you how to relate with your sister. You may have related with your brother in a particular way, and at some point they are demanding another level of relationship with your brother. Let me start it with spouse. Amen. Can you say amen now?
Amen.
Now, those who are not married, they will still bring you commandments.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not only in marriage that you have everlasting commandments.
Yes, sir.
In your relationship with your brother, your brethren, they bring you everlasting commandments. All of it is to make you wear, put off and put on. Amen.
Amen.
They bring you commandment. I said, let me start with spouse. At some point, they will give you commandments. Another point, they will also raise the standard of the commandments. Amen.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Should I go this way?
Yes.
Those of you who are married, you know, before your marriage, there was something shocking you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's something shocking you. At some point, the team noted. You know, the shark again. And at that moment, when the thing is not, you're not feeling. You know, all those songs you used to sing when the thing was shocking you, and all those poems you used to write, and at some point the whole thing is like is dry. You know, the only thing you hang on is commandments. Can I now define it to you? That commandment is really the love.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All those shocking, you see, all those shocking is not the love. Now, I'm not against shocking. It's good. The Lord allows it. It will help your soul. It will fuel your soul. They fuel your soul because they know you will get to the point where you want to go back, though you stay there. Can you say everlasting commandment? Meaning they will give you commandment that will last.
Yes, last.
Amen. Amen. Then they will now show you how to love again. You know, I used to think I know how to love. By the time they begin to say, you're not loving her here. This thing is deep, sir. And that's where we will be perfected. Can I say another one? That is where the dragon will fall. In marriage, he has to fall. Yeah, because he's exemplifying Christ, yes, and the church. He's in marriage. More than anything, marriage, they fight it because you're showing him something that is going to fall him.
Yes.
Your marriage can make Satan fall.
Yes.
You know, your marriage has fallen spirits.
Yeah.
Oh, you are not aware. Mm. I know spirits that my relationship with my wife had
conquered.
But there are still some others to conquer. And how do they? They will give you commandments. No, it's not just, you know, we say false spirit. Satan will fall. It's not kneeling down and praying for 12 hours.
Yes,
it's good to pray, very good to pray. But that is not how to fall him. As long as his thing is still inside of you, he's not falling. Because what is sustaining him is his things in our soul. So they will give you commandments that will make his things dissolve. That will dissolve. You see, the heaven where he's staying is actually in our soul. Because our soul has a heaven. Our soul represents a heaven. Our soul keeps a heaven. What is keeping heaven, or the heaven where he's saying, sustaining him where he is our soul. Our soul. So they will have to dissolve the heaven where he's staying in our soul, and he will fall.
Amen.
I mean, he will literally fall.
Amen.
You know, you don't see the connectivity between your soul and heaven. I'm not talking about the heaven of God. I'm talking about the heaven of the earth. Where he is connected to your soul. Amen. So for those of you who are not married also, they will give you some commandments. You know, what they do is that sometimes they will bring... I know in my walk with God, there were guys I met, you know, brethren that I met at some point in my life while growing. Of course, at that moment, there is no way I would have been able to use the commandment I'm using right now for them. Because I didn't have the capacity. But the one I was able to do, I did, sir. And then much later, sir, they will bring, as you walk, they will bring you somebody that is exactly like that guy. And I'm saying, God, what? Yes, I've made this soul. This soul. I know this soul. It's not the same person, you know. But the soul. I've made this kind of soul. And then they will now give you commandment too. And he's a brother.
Yes.
I'm not talking about an unbeliever.
Yes,
he's a brother. And they will give you commandments concerning that brother. Now, sometimes you want to revert back to how you dealt with the other one. It's not righteousness. Even though that in that season you passed, because it was a level of righteousness that was demanded of you at that time. But you can now use it again for this one.
Yeah.
They are demanding something higher.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Because they want to deal with something more inside of me.
Wow.
So you just know that this person, I've seen him before. I've seen that several times, sir. Sometimes it's ministers. They will bring to you. You know, and you know when it's a minister, you can't escape it.
Right.
You have to. Amen. Relationship between ministers is almost like is not exactly, but is a relationship of brethren. You know what I mean, brethren? You know what I mean by brethren? You can't break the law of brotherhood.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. I've had to pray sometimes, you know, Lord, please help me not to break. Sometimes a scenario can present itself that you want to take this decision. This is what you will just do. This is how you respond. But you will just feel a restraint in your spirit. Because you must not break the love code of brethren. Amen.
Amen.
That's how he's going to follow.
Yes, sir.
I'm describing the people that followed him. That followed this lamb. The people that followed him, the word of God. The armies of heaven that followed him. So they will give you commandment on how you're going to deal with that situation. Sometimes you will have to cry. Cry for help. Lord, help me. How do I deal with this? I've seen one like that. I have almost blocked the person. He's a minister of the gospel. I almost blocked him. And the Lord said, you dare not do that. Say, you dare not block him. Troublesome. And sometimes I'll just... be testing me, I will decide I will not answer. I will decide I will not answer. The person will keep bombarding and bombarding. After a while, the Holy Ghost will say, answer that call. reply. And you know you can't obey. You can't mean you can't disobey.
Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know, you know there's, at some point you can say, good riddance to bad rubbish. You know? No. If they are going to conquer you fully, you have to obey that commandment. What was Judas doing in the midst?
Jesus born with him.
Sir, I know Jesus bore with him, but the Lord was telling me, he said, even the disciples had to also
be
with him. They knew him.
Yes, so.
Before, I used to think they didn't know him. They knew him. They had to endure him.
Yes.
You don't know that kind of person.
They had to endure. They may not have known that he's a thief, yes, really, but he has some things. Because, you see, that nature will not only, it won't only be in stealing money. There are areas he will play out.
Yes.
There's area he will play out. I'm sure sometimes when they're arguing about who is going to be the greatest, he must have been one of the people that will
pushing
those kind of things. A politician. And they have to they have to endure him and still have him as brethren. Kai. Love the brotherhood. And for some, it will be relationship with spiritual authority.
Right.
Sir, both relating with spiritual authority, yes, and also being in a place of spiritual authority, because you are a man under authority. And you also have others that are with you.
Yes,
how to also relate with them. We must pass all our exams. All our tests, we must pass it. That's why I said, those that followed him, when you hear they had fine linen, white and clean, it's not easy to acquire. They are all righteousnesses you must do and continue to do until, you must continue it until you hit clean.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
That is how you acquire the garment. Finally, I told us, your garment will determine your placement.
Yes,
what you're wearing, your soul, what your soul has put on, will determine where you will be, your placement. They won't put you in a company that you don't have garment for. And the garment will not be given to you for dash. What did he call it? He said the white. When he was talking about the bride, please give that to me finally. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Amen.
Amen.
The marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife have made herself. Who made herself?
Wife.
Who made herself?
Wife.
I'm not hearing you. Who made herself?
Wife.
Did he say that? The Lamb made the wife ready. What the Lamb will do is to provide things. Did you get it? The wife, the Lamb will provide things, but you will have to use it. You will have to yield to him. He's the wife had made, and his wife had made herself ready. She has made herself ready. May we make ourselves ready.
Yeah.
We make ourselves ready by doing. So as he's providing what he's giving to you, you are doing it. As you're doing it, you're making yourself ready. As you're doing it, you're sewing your wedding gown. That's how you sew your wedding gown. As you're doing it, you're sewing your wedding gown. As you're doing it, you're sewing your wedding gown. As you're doing it, you're building your wedding shoe. Customize shoe. You can't wear another person's shoe. As you're doing it, you know, name all the regalia, the veil. As you're doing it, you're also weaving the veil that you will wear for your wedding. The bride had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should
be arrayed in fine. Look at it again. Fine. Look at it, please. Fine.
Yeah.
Then what again? Clean and white. So you see them keep repeating it. Not just fine linen. It has to also have these other properties. Clean and white. Then he now said, the fine linen is the what? Righteousness. Did he say it's the righteousness of the Lamb?
No.
It's actually the righteousness of the Lamb that the wife has acquired. So it now becomes the righteousness of the saints. Put on righteousness. May we put on righteousness.
Yeah.
Fine linen, the righteousness of the saints. So finally, like I said, the reason for garment, why sisters would want that white garment, is for glory. That very day in your wedding, you know, when you wear it and then you're marching in, and then your father is leading you, and then every eye is on you, camera is snapping you, and they are filming you, and isn't it glorious?
Yes, sir.
And they are matching you. It's an honorable thing.
Yes, sir.
And I feel every sister should test it.
Yes.
The Lord will grant you.
Yes.
But much more, the Lord will grant you this one I'm talking about.
Yes.
Amen. Kai, are you blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
I mean today. So it's for glory. It's for glory. Now if it's for glory, it's also for rain. You never saw garment as rain. Now why, another way I'll put it is, why is it that kings always have robe? They are arrayed with kingly robe. You call it kingly robe.
Yeah.
Now to show forth their glory, to show forth what they have, their robe.
Yes, sir.
So you can know a king of a nation by what he's wearing.
Yeah.
So what he's actually wearing is the glory of that nation.
Wow.
Did you understand it?
Yes,
it's the glory of that nation. So for our Lord Jesus, he wants his bride to wear his glory. Now that clothing is also for rain. It's for raining. Wearing it is for you to rain. Without wearing it, you won't be able to reign. Amen.
Amen.
I love that song. We reign in grace by Jesus Christ. Reign in life. We reign in life.
Through
what?
Through
what? So you can't reign. You can't really reign in grace without righteousness. So you need that clothing called righteousness of the saints. You need to wear it to be able to reign. Please, when they're talking reign, I want you to remove your mind from ruling people. Because that's where some of the things are blocked. When you say reign, you're thinking of people you control. That's not reign. The real reign is that you are fine, white, clean. I believe that clean is also informing that there is no way sin can stick on you. Meaning, what we actually reign over, when you want to see real reigning, reign over sin and death. Amen.
Amen.
What did I call it?
Rain.
reign. Your reign over sin and death. When you reign over sin and death, do you know who you're reigning over? Over the devil. That's him. Sin and death is him. If you can reign over sin and death, you're reigning over him. Now, not just reigning over him in small, you're reigning over him in fine, white, clean. Benny doesn't have any place. He can't find a place in you. Sin can't stick on your garment, can't stick on your soul. There is no spot, there is no wrinkle, there is no blemish. Kai, somebody say, can a soul be like this? Yes. Yes. There's a provision for that. And the provision is what he's giving to us. Do righteousness. Do righteousness. Do righteousness. You'll be clothed. Clothing is so that your shame will not be seen. Your nakedness will not be seen. Are you blessed today? I say you'll be clothed. You will not be found naked. As this meeting is going on, one of the things that is going to be coming is you're going to be receiving commandments. First of all, you receive substances of righteousness. You're going to receive commandments that you would do. And as you're doing those commandments, you'll be made fine. Meaning your soul will be made fine. Your soul will be made white. And your soul will be made clean. In the name of Jesus. When you are made clean, you're free from sin. Being made free. Free from sin. Meaning you're free. Meaning they cannot trace any sin to you. Not just tracing it. You don't have propensity. You can't respond to sin again. And you can say you're reigning. Amen. Peter's the reign that Jesus actually wants. It's not to be king over Ibadan. It's not reign. But the king of Ibadan and the people who are, they are all under one government. Sin and death. Amen. Are we blessed tonight? Let's begin to give God thanks.
Words have spirit. Words is life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed!